And welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Bubba and the Bloom, episode 371, your week 21 Fab preview. The countdown is on. We're almost just to our one hand to figure out the rest of the way to go and not saluting the number one 5 weeks to go. We got 6 or 7 weeks for now. We're moving right along. We're going to get you caught up as usual on your schedules, your two-start pitchers, people to stream, maybe cut, who knows. A lot of trade deadline fallout since our trade deadline recap and much, much more. Before we get to that, you can follow me on Twitter at BDEntric, the podcast at Bubba Bloom Pod, on Patreon at patreon.com/BubbaBloom, and my co-host, as always, on Twitter at RyanBHQ, Ryan Bloomfield. How you doing, my friend?
Yeah, one hand. Depends how many fingers you have on that hand.
Sure, if you are playing with fireworks, you're in trouble. But
Jason Pierre-Paul joke somewhere in there.
But yep, that's the first thing that came to mind.
I am well. We are recording a little earlier than normal on Thursday, so we are not live for this one. Appreciate accommodating. It's Papa Bloom's birthday today. Happy birthday, Papa Bloom. Got family in town, so doing some things tonight to celebrate. Big weekend, big Fab weekend ahead, man. There's a ton to freaking get to.
Yeah, it's gonna get wild. So I guess we'll just jump right into it and see where we go. And it all starts with our usual. What's the schedule looking like this week, Ryan?
All right, that's a good question, Bubba. All right, here we go. Got me off guard, even though I shouldn't.
It's only week 21, folks. Of like the second year we've done this format, we got it.
At least the second year. Yeah. Oh, let's see. We have the Sacramento A's at home all week. They host the Rays and Rangers for 6 games, 2 lefties, 4 righties. We've got a lot of off days just in general. I think there are only, you can almost count them on one hand, the number of teams that have 7 games, Boston, Toronto, Angels, Rangers, Brewers, and Dodgers are the only teams with 7 games this week. No 5-gamers. A's all at home. If we go to Great American Small Park, the Reds will be split there. They go to the south side for the first half of the week before hosting the Miami Marlins on the back half. And then Coors check. Ooh, on the road all week. No Coors games this week. At Arizona and at your San Francisco Giants, which I want to watch as many Giants games as I can. Yes. Down the stretch here, given today's news.
Yeah, Kruko's going to be retiring, which honestly, I thought he was going to retire a few years ago. He hasn't been able to travel for a few years due to his disease. Right. He lives like a block from the ballpark. But I think most baseball fans probably know by now, because he is actually, him and Kipe are that awesome in the booth. And they've kind of known the story between the two. If you ever want to get misty-eyed, it was like 2 or 3 years ago, there's a story of when they went to Wrigley, and Kipe brought him along and like basically had to carry him up the stairs and stuff. And it kind of was a whole thing about their whole bromance isn't the right word, but they're basically best friends and they've done so much together. So really good stuff. It's a bummer in Giants land. It's a bummer in baseball land, but yeah, enjoy the last 2 months is the way I would go about that. And I'll save my tears for a later date and time, because it is going to suck. I'll tell you that much. Losing them.
Giants are home all week, so we get six of that duo, which is awesome.
And they try to, like, he'll sit in San Francisco and then Kipe will be live and they'll simulcast some of the roads. But it's, as the season's gone along, it's been a lot more Hunter Pence, who's good. I don't mind him. A lot more roving, like Javi Lopez and some guys have been stepping in there as well. So
Javi, like the Braves Javi Lopez?
He pitched for the Giants too. If you don't forget.
Oh, okay. No, I'm thinking the catcher, Javi Lopez.
No,
from like the 90s.
Maybe I'm talking about the wrong guy, and I just totally brain farted here as my head is in a tailspin. who the heck? Okay, I'm not going to go down this rabbit hole right now. I'm trying to figure out who it is. I just totally blanked. But yeah, let's get to it. Let's talk 30 teams and get this ball rolling on this one. You said a lot of Fab because of the trade deadline fallout, folks. Baltimore Orioles, 6 games this week, all on the road. 3 at Minnesota, 3 at Tampa Bay, 2 lefties and 4 righties for the Orioles, Ryan. We kind of hinted on the recap show that Tyler O'Neill might play more. That has not been the case. Just throw that one into the ether. It's still a platoon situation there. Yep. But on the hitting side of things, what are you looking at when it comes to the Orioles?
Really nothing, honestly. For me, it's all on the pitching side.
Yeah, so then let's just get to it. With the Dean out of town, we saw Cade Povich get the start on Wednesday night, pitched really well. I've always been a Povich stan, but I'm also very well aware it's not always an easy ride, Ryan.
It is not always an easy ride for Cade Povich, who has a 10% strikeout minus walk in the majors this year. Decent sub indicators, decent whiffs, decent ball percentage. Cade Povich is a streamer. It would line up, you know, through Thursday's games. He'd be at Texas this weekend and then hosting the Yankees, which
a good matchup.
We like that. And then on the road at the Cardinals, perhaps, if we're looking three starts away. So I don't know. I think Cade Povich is a 15 team streamer. There's a lot of bad teams against lefties out there. You can use him in the right matchups if Cade Povich kind of hangs around, which I think he will be part of that rotation for as long as he's effective.
The only reason why I might throw cold water on that is I want him to stick around. Chris Bassett's expected back next week. So that could switch just all up. Just keep an eye on that. Bassett's supposed to have another rehab start towards the end of this week and then return towards the end of next week. That's always subject to change with Bassett.
But yep.
That would be the corresponding move more often than not. Now, the bullpen is in flux, Ryan. Tyler Wells is out of town. Cano gets a save. Kittredge gets a save. I was reading Reliever Recon's closer cliff notes this morning, and the beat writer from The Athletic didn't give fantasy players a whole lot of encouragement, it feels like, with this one. It's going to be a little bit of the same, it feels like.
I read the same thing. Shout out Greg Jewett. Reliever Recon does awesome work. Seeing that in my inbox every morning is good for the soul. Cano and Kittredge, it just seems like it's going to be a revolving door. Maybe the Orioles are probably good enough to win enough games to where you still want to go with Kittredge or Cano. Just, you know, you may get five saves or something from each of them the rest of the way. Maybe that's optimistic. But Cano's pitched really well lately. I think the skills are there for him. Kind of been waiting for Cano to be a full-time closer for about 10 years now. But I don't know. Every save matters based on your categories. And I think even though it's split, this has been a recurring theme all season, Bubba, not just for Baltimore, but for a lot of these teams is that, you know, a closer committee isn't always like the worst thing in the world. We used to, think of that as something that's really bad. Obviously you want a primary closer, but it's not the worst thing in the world for two guys to split 50.
Oh, you don't have to convince me. I've been pounding that drum for a couple months now. I feel like you just give me the line, at least the midway point or 60%, whatever. But I'll take 50 these days, especially as we start getting down to these final weeks where we're seeing a lot of shakier pitchers. And that's something we're going to be talking about for streams a lot. There's definitely teams to target with pitchers. There's also some very bad pitchers with more and more injuries coming up and everything that you might have three, four relievers at a time coming up in certain weeks. And a guy like a Cano or some other guys we'll talk about here will fill that void for you.
Yep.
Or even Kittredge. All right, let's go to the Boston Red Sox. Seven games this week, all on the road. Four at Toronto, three at Pittsburgh. Seven righties for the Boston Red Sox. It's a shame William Abreu is widely rostered because, good God, he's in Fuego right now. So is Sedan Rafael. So is this whole team. So with seven righties, Ryan, are you intrigued by Nick Sogard by chance?
Should I be? I don't think I am.
Leading off for the Boston Red Sox, and he's actually getting hits. In a deep league, he's a stream for me until he slows down, I'll be honest, against seven righties.
I mean, Nick Sogard has yet to have a homer or a steal and is hitting .246 in 69 plate appearances. I just don't think he's good.
Since he got recalled, he's played five straight games.
Yeah, but he doesn't leading have off a homer or a steal. I don't care what you do.
I don't care. Out of some of the guys you throw in my direction, you're going to poo-poo Nick Sogard.
No, is lineup spot a category in these?
He can score a lot of runs the way that offense is clicking right now. So since he got recalled, he's played in six games. He's hitting .227, to your point. Four runs scored over that stretch. His on-base percentage is .393. Gets on a ton. I'm just saying, in deep leagues, if you want to stream for the week and try to get some counting stats, I'm not going to throw it out the window. We've talked about some nasty, nasty middle infield options lately. So, yeah.
And again, the way the season has gone, welcome to Nick Sogard.
Nick Sogard's hitting three home runs next week, driving in six, stealing two bags, hitting .650.
Yeah, can't freaking wait.
Sorry. So since I derailed us with Nick Sogard, what do you got for real from the Boston Red Sox?
I mean, really the only one truly, and the ship might have sailed, as we like to say, but Andrew Monasterio, we've been talking about him the last couple of weeks. Hell, he's only 4% owned in 12 teamers on the NFBC. Yeah, Bubba,
he was a big 15 move this past week, but yeah.
So yes, I like Andrew Monasterio against a decent schedule in seven games.
Yeah, I like Monasterio quite a bit. He's got that eligibility. Like, it's shortstop and third, which is a plus, and playing every single day. So I'm with you there. Anything on the pitching side, they're kind of business as usual, but I think, are you ready to admit Patrick Sandoval's actually pitching well?
Yeah, I'll admit that he has pitched well.
Okay, I just wanted to check.
Kind of. I will also admit that this is August 10th this week, so Sandoval's start would be at Pittsburgh, which Pittsburgh has one of the biggest lefty-righty splits of any team so far this season, and they are pretty atrocious against lefties, pretty awesome against righties. Sandoval being a lefty, that is, again, I'll admit, Sandoval's a fine stream for another week.
Yep. Yeah, he's one of the top, like the Red Sox as a whole. I know, like on Monday when I was with Ben, and if we look at your weekly planner, the lefty Red Sox, because that's pretty much all of them, they are all kind of peppering the top, you know, let's say 15 to 20 on the streaming board. So good schedule's coming up for the boys.
Yeah, and like, yeah, I mean, Jaron Duran, even though it's been Jaron Duran and he's been like platooning, but it's seven righties, like go for it. If you're desperate for batting average, Yoshida, but he's kind of...
I was talking some pitchers.
He's got some Nick Sogard to him, too.
I was talking to pitchers. They got like five lefty pitchers, basically.
So oh, God.
They,
oh,
they all, on your weekly planner, they're on like the top 20, all of them.
I got you.
For matchups. See what you all mean. Right, New York Yankees. We got six games, three at home versus Seattle, three at the Blue Jays, six righties on tap for the Yankees, who, since we last talked, we mentioned it, but Elliot Ramos is in town. He's joined the team. George Lombard was called up. He's had a good couple games to kick things off here. Spencer Jones continues to play every day. Luis Garcia is the starting first baseman versus righties, which they get six of next week, but that's not actionable in fantasy. What do you got for us with the Yankees bats?
I mean, George Lombard, I think, is the headliner, right, for this week. One of the headliners for this
week.
He's
your cover boy.
He's the cover boy. I'll put the jinx on George Lombard. I mean, I think he is the guy. I mean, the Volpe era is, I think, over in the Bronx. Congratulations, Ben Tidd. I think the playing time is going to be there for George Lombard. Already has a home run, so that's going to, we all know how that's going to inflate the fab price for Lombard. But numbers look really good in AAA for George Lombard. I know he's only 21, so like how is this going to translate immediately? But playing time is going to be there. He's already shown some goodness against major league pitching. So George Lombard, if you need middle infield help, hell, if you maybe need a starting shortstop, I think the playing time is going to be there. I think the ceiling is good enough for Lombard to make a dent in these last final 5 to 6 weeks.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of what we saw here. We saw he had some power and some speed throughout the minors, and the glove is, no matter what, going to keep him out there. It's been more than impressive. Bar wasn't high, but it's been very impressive. And that one, I guess the biggest takeaway and to keep monitoring over the weekend, Jose Caballero has sat two straight games since Lombard's been
what
up
do you
here.
Do that? Like, right. And that's fun. Caballero, I think it is Lombard, the shortstop. Caballero will be a utility. Yep. So, you know, someone else is going to get hurt, right? That always happens. But if you do have Jose Caballero, especially if you're good in steals, like he may not need him.
1,000%. So that's one to keep an eye on. There's always someone's going to lose out when these things take place. Heading to the mound, Will Warren somehow is still in the rotation. Carlos Rodon's on a rehab assignment starting, I think, this week or early next week. So a couple more weeks where Warren gets to keep breathing in that one. But I don't have a whole lot when it comes to Yankees pitching, Ryan.
Nope, not much has changed there.
Tampa Bay Rays have six games this week, three in Sacramento. And they're just in Colorado, too. Good God. Three at home versus Baltimore, two lefties and four righties for the platoon-happy Rays, who have got even more platoon-happy since the trade deadline.
Yeah, there's as usual a lot of platooning going on with the Rays, and thus it's tough in a somewhat split week. I mean, four righties, you could go with the soft spot. You can obviously go with Liam Hicks. You're still rolling there, but I don't know. That's about it.
Yep, not a whole lot to get too excited about, especially in the fantasy side. I'm not going to go chasing the lefties. Like if you had to go Victor Mesa Jr., you can. He's kind of cooled off though, so I'll be completely honest on that one. Pitching side of things, Freddy Peralta.
Freddy.
That's been a rough one, folks. Not going to get better this week either. I'm pretty sure they face the Dodgers. Anything on the pitching side when it comes to Tampa Bay? Because, you know, Freddy's still rostered, but better not be starting him.
Right. And Freddy, it looks like, if Fangraphs has him going a two-step Monday at Sacramento. Yeah. So
oof. Well, that's what it was.
That's
Colorado.
That's not any better. Right. Yeah. And again, like, you know, can the Rays fix Freddy Peralta? Who knows? It's been one start, but was not good at all. Freddy Peralta is not startable right now.
No, it's Baltimore is kind of shaky, then Baltimore again, but then it's Detroit. Like, it's not an easy schedule for a guy that can't pitch.
And I mean, it also doesn't even matter what the schedule is, right? Because he can't
pitch. That's why I said by Freddy, a guy that can't pitch. It's like, it's a bad combination.
Right, right.
All right, Toronto Blue Jays, they got 7 games at home this week. Maybe it's the week flat. No, probably not. He can't even play on the field every day right now. I'm telling you, it's getting the drop. It really needs to be a serious discussion with Vlad. Like, I know
he was dropped in the Bloomfield home league. The Bloomfield family league was dropped, 10 teamer, but dropped.
I don't blame anyone. I've gotten so much pushback on that on other shows, maybe even this show. I can't remember, but. Like, it's bad, and now he's playing hurt, and they're flat out saying, like, we'll see when he, like, how often he plays and stuff. But this week, the Jays have 7 games at home, 4 versus Boston, 3 versus the Yankees. It's 4 lefties and 3 righties. Tough matchups, too, if you really want to look at it.
Yeah.
Maybe Vlad streaks at some point in time, but it's so bad. Like, do you really want to? I haven't started him in probably 3 weeks in the one league I roster him in.
Sure. And you haven't regretted that decision at all.
That's why I'm saying, like, next he's about to get dropped. I have for me.
Well, you are. That would surprise nobody. As your new nickname is Captain Cut.
Yeah, so Captain Cut. That's what it is.
Everyone. Anytime there's an injury in the Discord, there's scissor emojis beneath it in your honor. I don't know. This is just a bad lineup, bad team. I want to get back on the Jesus Sanchez train. Who he returned this past week, hit a home run, but. Like you said, it's a tough schedule. They face Boston with all those lefties. A 3 righty week, it's tough for me to go Jesus Sanchez. I think you need, if you're streaming Jesus Sanchez, you need like 5 plus righties in a week. So that's the only kind of pulse that I have on the Toronto lineup. The following week, Toronto gets 4 righties. So it's not too much better for Jesus Sanchez.
Nah, yeah, then maybe 5 the following. So it's getting close. Maybe next week you get him for $1 and see where it goes. But yeah, I'm with you. Real, real tough to roll with that this week. And then on the pitching side, there's been a lot of changes in Toronto with, you know, Gossman leaving town. Jameson Taillon is there. Jose Soriano's there. I don't think you really want to roster Taillon, but I wanted to throw that out there. Anything on the Toronto pitching side of things for you?
Not really in terms of ads. Savage has a knee injury, I believe.
He's gonna see a specialist on Monday.
Captain Cut, what's your take on that one? He's gone. Don't even let me finish the sentence. Okay.
If you're seeing a specialist with less than 2 months to go, like
gone.
I'm done with you right now. Like, unless you somehow are one of the 3 teams in all of fantasy baseball in every format combined that has 0 injuries right now, like because most of us we play without ILs, like so I can't hang on to that much longer. They said he's got some, like, this is how the analysis came out. On Thursday, Yesavage has some sort of meniscus injury. Seeing specialist on Monday. Yeah, gone.
What if I have to go see a specialist, Bubba? Am I gone?
Well, that's why we talk every Tuesday and Thursday evening. That is our specialist moment. No, I'm just kidding. No, you, that's I fair. Could never cut you, Ryan. There's a difference.
Yeah. All right. Good to hear.
Yeah. So. We roll in that direction. All right, Chicago White Sox. They got
My bad.
Chicago White Sox. They have 6 games this week: 3 at home versus Cincinnati, 3 at the Detroit Tigers. 2 lefties and 4 righties for the Chicago White Sox. The platoons are real. We talked about it a little bit last week, Ryan, with Antonacci. We already knew Benintendi platooned. We mentioned Peters with platoon with Doyle in town. So far, so that's what's actually happening.
Right. And yeah, we talked about the Antonacci losing playing time, kind of similar to like Caballero, who we just talked about. If you're good in steals, like this guy's not playing against lefties. The playing time hasn't been there for Antonacci, especially like the first half of this week, even though it's a nice schedule for the White Sox, tentatively lined up against 2 lefties and just 1 righty. Like you can't start Antonacci in that setup. Can't start Benny Biceps. Can't really start him anyway, though. He's been a little better lately, but yeah, a lot of platoons on the White Sox, and I don't see any major ads. I mean, Joey Bart is in the fray. I know that does not tickle your fancy, Bubba. So I got nothing.
Yeah, I'll say the only reason why it could tickle my fancy is if you're really desperate for catchers, but he looks like he's even in a platoon with Drew Romo. So
sure.
It's tricky.
Yeah. Yep.
The whole situation, unless it's one of the regulars, which is already rostered, pretty much SOL on that one. Pitching side of things, Luis Castillo is now a Chicago White Sox. If that does anything for you, it probably shouldn't. Yeah. The one I want to ask you about, honestly, is Noah Schultz, because since they've used the opener, he's been pretty good. And we know the skills have been there. It's just really been a command thing with Noah Schultz. Like, command's really, really bad. But like, I know the last start for sure, and he's kind of shown some glimpses recently. Would Schultz be of any interest to you? Like, he gets Cincinnati at home this week. He's got at Cubs versus Mets the following week. The matchups might not be ideal, but I'm thinking more skill set, 15 team, take a chance type thing.
Yeah, perhaps. I don't. Let's talk through what other starters are here as we go through the other teams, but I'm still just very wary of the command issues with Noah Schultz. And like, you can't start him with that Cubs start, I don't think. I mean, the Cubs crush lefties. So, no, I don't think I'm that interested in Schultz.
No, totally get it. Just wanted to talk that one out because there was some glimpses of positivity.
I mean, I will note, he does have three of his last four, I don't know if they're starts, whatever, no walks.
Yeah, it's been much better since he came back up to AAA.
Not many Ks either, but...
No, but maybe that's part of the command thing.
Or like it's, or length. Like, let's not try, or...
yeah, let's not try to throw it a million miles an hour and like locate.
Yeah, let me add some context to that. Two of those were 3 1/3 and 3 2/3.
Context, Schmontex, who needs that? It's just
whatever.
Yeah, shenanigans. All right, let's go to the Cleveland Guardians. 6 games this week, 3 at Detroit, 3 at home versus San Diego, 1 lefty and 5 righties for the Guardians. And this is a team, Joe Adele is now in right field. Jerian's banged up, back in the lineup on Thursday, though, so that's hopefully a plus in that regard. Yeah, lots going here. Angel Gannau is what I found out on a Wednesday show, if I pronounced that correctly. He now started back-to-back games and hit 4 hits in his first game. What interests you in this one?
So first, it's a good Nathaniel Lowe week. Homered during the day on Thursday off of Nolan McLean, and is settling into the middle of what's a decent Cleveland Guardians lineup. So I like that. And with the 5 righties this week, pretty favorable schedule in general. You like that. Yeah, there might be a new Angel in town. Angel, he now replacing Angel Martinez, not actually on the field, but just, you know, in namesake only.
Starting to hit. We're gonna let that one slide for now.
Let it slide. Really good contact skills. He now in the minors, but I don't know if there's enough power speed juice there, at least immediately for he now. So we'll see. Playing time could be there, but I'm lukewarm on hell he now. Not really actionable, I guess, but like, are you worried about J-Ram rest of the way here?
I'm terrified.
Yeah.
Like, I was so happy to get him back. He came back so fast, no rehab, and then he really didn't do a whole lot. And then he's dealing with wrist soreness and the same injured wrist, and then he comes like took 2 games off. It feels like Vinny P. Vinny P went on the IL with his. Like, J-Ram's not going on the IL, but J-Ram like rarely ever goes on the IL unless he has to. Like, he plays through stuff all the time. And this is not great, I'll be honest.
Yeah, agreed. Are you interested in he now at all? Or like, I worry about the playing time. I just don't know if there's a spot for him.
I'm interested. I do want to watch how this plays out because, like, okay, I played third base one game, played second base another game. I played second base basically when J-Ram came back.
Right.
But like Bizana DH, we know Bizana's the second baseman.
We know Bizana, exactly. So I think it would be like an IL stint for Ramirez. Like, if the thumb just really isn't right, then maybe. But.
And that's where the excitement would come from. So, like, I'm not saying don't bid on him, but I'd be very tepid in that situation because I don't know where that's going to go. But he's their number one prospect according to most of these rankings I'm looking at here on Roster Resource. So that's pretty big stuff. And if they brought him up, you figured they'd want to play him, but you never know. The one thing I will mention, though, because, you know, Captain Cuts over here, just a heads up for people. Big fan. We all know this. At least in 12-team leagues, Brian Rocchio probably should not be rostered right now.
Yeah.
I cut him in a bunch of 12s last week. And in 15s, I think I might have cut a couple. Like, I know he's on the block. But it was a 222 average in June, 242 in July, 0.83 so far early in August. I know it's early. But between just June and July, it was 5 home runs, 23 RBIs for 2 months. He only stole six. Like, he produced a little bit, but it's been really, really falling off. That's what I wanted to point out. So keep that one on your radar.
I was going through my cuts this morning, actually, for my teams before I head out here. And on my 12-teamer, Brian Rocchio is on my cut list. It's just it's Segura territory, and that's what I'm trying to get used to with these 12s is you can't have that.
Nope. No, you can't at all. Like 15s, you can kind of stomach it a little bit. 12s, it'll crush you. And so, yeah. And honestly, I cut him a couple weeks ago also. Joe Adell is the same. So keep that one on your
radar. Ruthless, scorched earth.
Oh, he's really bad, honestly. Like outside of occasion. He's entering Jorge Soler territory these days. So, yeah. No, we're ruthless in these parts. We gotta churn the team. All right. Pitching side of things, Foster the Griffin made his debut. It did not go as planned, but is what it is. Other than that, I got a whole lot of nothing when it comes to pitching in Cleveland.
Same.
Detroit Tigers, 6 games this week, all at home, 3 versus Cleveland, 3 versus the White Sox, 3 lefties and 3 righties for the Detroit Tigers, whose offense is red hot right now.
Yeah, ironically, after selling the farm. I don't know. We talked about Eduardo Valencia last week. Playing time is very much hit or miss. Probably not enough in two catcher leagues just because we like the talent. We don't like the playing time there.
Yeah. And that's the part we kind of prefaced that last week. Like if he plays, which it's going to be awesome. It's when does he play? And that's just not happening right now with this, as long as his team's healthy. Max Clark has been as advertised. Javi Baez, good enough in 15s. I would still be interested there just because the positional flexibility, and he's playing at least, you know, 2/3 of the week, it feels like. So that'll play in your 15s. But, yeah, I got nothing else on the bats unless you got something.
No, I don't.
Pitching side of things is going to get interesting because, you know, they traded this Tarek Skubal guy. They traded Casey Mize, who got lit up on Wednesday. We'll get to that when we get to San Diego. But they got the Tigers have Framber Valdez, Keitel Montero, Troy Milton. They've been great. That's your standard three. But right now, Drew Anderson joined the rotation. Still a little sketchy on that one, but we'll see. Ty Madden is set to get a spot start. How long he stays in the rotation, who knows? Jackson Job is expected back on Sunday. Any pitching interest you in Detroit?
Jackson Job does. I mean, he kind of has to, right?
Yep.
Given the pedigree, I know it's been a long layoff for Jackson Job, but rehab's looked pretty good. I think through 69 pitches in his most recent start, Jackson Job. So I think that's a priority pickup. I don't know if he starts Saturday or Sunday. I think he just said Sunday. So depending if he's available in your leagues, but I think Jackson Job has to be of interest to you. You said the run support could be there. It's a hot lineup. You like the pitcher's park. I like Jackson Job. I'm prioritizing him.
Right now they're showing Job on Saturday. So we should have a shot then if that's the case.
Nice.
Anything with the bullpen, it's just a flux. It's just a mess of, I don't want anything to really do with it, but it is what it is.
No, I mean, if you have Kenley and you need saves, you keep Kenley, but that's it. If you have Kenley and you don't need saves, you can move on quite quickly.
All right, let's head to the Kansas City Royals, who have 6 games this week. They get the LA swing. We talked about the Yanks in the Chicago a couple weeks ago.
Nice.
The Royals get to hang out in La La Land. 3 at the Dodgers, 3 at the Angels. Take a little Disney action. Bring the family out. Have a good old time. 4 lefties and 2 righties for the Kansas City Royals.
Go to Buzz Lightyear Land, whatever ride that was. I kind of I had a good time at Disney, but man, it's stressful on the mind.
I surely enjoy it. Like we're two different peoples in that regard.
I know. Yes, we are.
Yeah.
What about heading to a rave, Bubba?
Dude, I picked him up in 15s last week. He was like my second or third option in some of the.
You've already been to the waterfalls
in 15s. I am raving out over here. That's probably why I'm Captain Cuts. Like, don't combine the two. It's a dangerous place to be.
No scissors at the. No scissors.
No rave scissors combo.
I mean, hitting the hell out of ball in AAA. This guy's almost. I mean, John Rave's 28 and a half years old. He's kind of journeyman territory, but playing every day, hot right now. That combination. Right, that could work.
Yep. No, it's a nice while the playing time's there, see what happens type situation. And I'm all about it. Like I said, I picked up on it a little bit last week and was throwing him out there. I think I even wrote him up. Can't remember for sure, but I'm pretty sure I did. But yeah, I'm into the Riff. He faced the only lefty they faced of late. He's getting the time. Fully on board with you there. Kyle Isbell's back off the IL, still not running to do that. Nick Lofton is getting a lot of time. Isaac Collins is another guy I had farther down my 15-team waterfalls. Like, yeah. It's just these guys are playing every day. So if you're looking for playing time, it's there. Rave's at least producing, to your point.
Yeah, unlike Collins, yeah. Who I picked up last week, he hasn't done much, but whatever.
He was before that, unfortunately.
Yeah, exactly. So. Yeah, of course.
Yeah. So maybe next week's the week in L.A.
Yep, after I drop him.
Anything on the pitching side? Randy Dobnak looked great again in his last start. Just get a throw. Doesn't strike guys out, but what was the word? It was Dobnacky. Yeah, it's a good start.
Doesn't strike guys out, walks too many guys. But sure, Randy Dobnak. The more I continue to bury this guy, the better he pitches. He's the new Urania. He's the new Walbert Urania. Urania
is a lot better than him.
Dobnak has a 1.16 ERA, a 5.16 Sierra. But
that's what I was saying. It's got to be really rough.
I don't know, man. I mean, I will defer to you. Are you interested in? I mean, the ship's kind of sailed. Like he's probably been picked up in 15s, but like
in 15s, he was a two step this last week. That's what made him appeal. Like, but he's at the Angels. Next
but he's
week.
At the
that's
Angels. Right, and then the A's at home, and then at Toronto. Dobnak.
Yeah, that's actually you can stream.
So it's just like, yeah. I mean, again, I don't think he's good. But whatever. He's getting by right now. He does get a bunch of ground balls, and the upcoming matchups are quite nice for Dobnak. So I don't know, man. I can't figure this game out anymore. I'm washed.
You're washed. But yeah, no. You could stream him. Be wary. I wouldn't stream him in 12s. I'll go that far, and I'm still curious to see how the fourth man in the rotation is going to pan out, because like Reagan's is done for the year, Marsh is done for the year, Kolek's done for the year, Avila's done for the year. They traded Bubich. Like, I'm really curious to see what they do here. Is like Mitch Spence getting called up? It's not great, not fantasy relevant. I will say what is relevant though is Steven Cruz picked up his third save on Wednesday, and he's still just 19% in 12s.
Wow, is that it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was nice to see that. I had picked up Steven Cruz in a couple spots last weekend, and especially nice to see because Cruz got the save and Alex Lang presumably was available. He hadn't pitched the last like four games, so it definitely looks like this is Steven Cruz time for now. And yeah, in those 80% of 12 teamers, if you need a closer, absolutely Steven Cruz.
Yeah, now I know why I got him so much in my leagues, because he was like my top closing target. Apparently no one else wanted him, but when I saw Alex Lang pitch like the sixth and seventh on Sunday, I'm like, yeah, we're good. That ship has sailed, Ryan. We'll move on from that one. Minnesota Twins, six games this week, three versus Baltimore, three versus Philadelphia, two lefties and four righties. They held on to Trevor Larnach, so that kind of puts him in play this week, but what do you got for the Twins?
Yeah, kind of Larnach, but that's kind of it. I don't know.
I didn't really trade anybody of relevance for the off.
I didn't really do anything.
Like that's kind of weird, but I guess it's, they're competing. What are they still? They're four games back. They've been slumping, but what do you got on the pitching side with Dean Kramer in town? Does the Dean do anything for you?
Not until the Dean starts pitching well again. Joe Ryan seems to be in some injury trouble. We may be dating ourselves recording this early, but from what I understand, flew back to Minnesota early, and I don't know if it's quite specialist territory there, Captain Cut, but. Monitoring that one with Joe Ryan.
Well, I'll wait for the news, but I wrote about it on the news and notes for the Patreon on Wednesday night. It was really weird because like we knew he had the kind of the dead arm. We know he's dealt with shoulders. The latest news was he's dealing with a lower body injury, which I haven't heard anything really about. Well, except did he have a groin thing last year, or am I thinking of somebody else? I don't know. But he admitted he's not 100%. And I'm waiting for this second opinion they're getting, because I feel like he might be getting cut this week. But we'll have to wait and see. I'll at least hear it out on Joe Ryan.
Yeah, let's
lower body on this one.
Let's hear it out.
Jeff Hoffman, people are saying he might be in the mix for some saves. Yoenis Gomez has been awesome, Ryan. You were all over that right out the gate. And I think he's still very good, and he'll probably still get saves. This kind of almost goes in that bucket. we talked about earlier, like in Baltimore, if it's like 50-50, you interested in picking up some Jeff Hoffman shares?
I mean, you kind of have to if you're desperate for saves just on the chance. I mean, we talked about this in the trade deadline show. We're just guessing. We don't know, right? Like Minnesota is the only team that knows what is going to happen here. And until we actually see some type of usage pattern on the field. And has Hoffman even pitched yet for the Twins?
I just went off the page, but I do not believe.
He pitched on Wednesday.
Okay.
One inning, scoreless, two Ks, clean inning. And it was a 2-1 loss, but Hoffman pitched the eighth inning. So
there you go.
Yoenis Gomez did not. So that's the one data point that we have so far. Jeff Hoffman, I think, is still a pretty damn good pitcher. I think if you need saves, like I would still, if Steven Cruz is available, I take Cruz just because I feel a little bit better about Cruz having the job. But like I'd rather Hoffman than the two Orioles guys that we talked about, just because, you know, if Hoffman gets the job and, you know, even half the job, he's been really good and you'll get a ton of Ks.
Agreed. He's been a really, really good. They had that scuffle moment that lost him the job, but overall he's been really, really strong. Let's go to Sacramento, to the Sacramento Athletics. They have 6 games this week, all at home, 3 versus Tampa Bay, 3 versus Texas, 2 lefties and 4 righties for a team that Nick Kurtz might be done for the year. We're waiting for a second
specialist result.
Yeah, like the magic words are coming out. I'm waiting for surgery, and that's when you can cut him. Like that's on the table right now. Yeah, we already lost Bengaliers, but Law Dog's playing, hit a home run again on Wednesday. I picked him up a few places. Henry Bolte has kept himself on the roster, especially with 6 games coming up. He's played well enough of late. That's about all I care about. Oh, I will admit, Jeff McNeil is playing very well.
I was going to try and poke the bear by calling out Jeff McNeil.
Over the last like 2 to 3 weeks, I wrote him up in my Fab column this last week. Because he is the starting first baseman, first right-handers, when he's out. I think he's also in my PT Tomorrow column. McNeil has actually played very well of late. And with those 4 righties in Sacramento, he is on the radar for next week.
Jesus, Bubba.
Can't get one past me, man.
I was gonna troll you. I mean, it's Jeff McNeil, dude. No, I'm not doing it. 3 barrels all season.
Better for the rest of us.
Yeah, go ahead. Go take them. I'm not interested.
Just to let you know, you don't have to barrel the ball to hit home runs in Sacramento.
I mean, he doesn't hit home runs either. So, that's also an issue.
He's got 4 home runs and 3 barrels, proving my point.
Yeah. I don't know what point you're trying to make, so we'll move on. Tommy White played some first base. Tommy tinkles. Until he stops tinkling, we're not going there. And then Zach Gelof's back. I think it might be a lengthy
next
rehab.
Week. Should be next week.
But if all goes well next week, so welcome back, hopefully.
Yeah, they wanted 20 to 25 at bats, so he might even come back this weekend. It started on Tuesday, so there's a world where or he might finish his rehab Saturday and say, screw it, I'm not flying you across country. We'll just see you in Sacramento and start next week. So he should be back in action next week, which so many of my teams need in a bad, bad way because it's carnage out there, folks.
Yep.
All right, hitting side done. Pitching side, Gage Jump was dropped everywhere. You're just not really. But Mason Barnett, it's bad. The rotation is bad, at least on the at home for sure.
The rotation is bad. I saw some Jacob Lopez pickups this past week would line up for a 2-step against the Rays, who struggle against lefties.
Like he was fine. He was fine at Cincy, but I would not do a 2-step.
You can't do it. You can't do it at home. So. No.
All right, Dan. Hogan Harris, good or bad, has been the guy getting the the big innings. So we can stick on that train if you so choose. The Houston Astros, they have 6 games this week, 3 at the Giants, 3 at home versus Seattle, 1 lefty and 5 righties for the Astros. They have Dalton Varsho hitting cleanup and manning center field now. Anything on the bats for Houston?
No, I mean, Varsho was the move, but nothing really changes for him. It's just an offensive upgrade, but if you have him, you still roll him out there.
Pitching side of things, Wesneski, he's locked in, was looking good. Christian Javier's got the 2-step. So they got their 5-man rotation for the time being. Imai in the bullpen. Anything on the pitching side of interest for you? They seem pretty locked in right now.
Right, and Javier and Wesneski were both kind of last week pickups. Yep. I know we both have some Wesneski, so it was nice to see him looked pretty good his first time out. So
I will say Wesneski's 29%, Javier's 13% in 12s if you guys are still fishing out there. Something to
those 12s, man. Who would you rather have? I'd take Wesneski over Javier.
I want Wesneski. Like I picked up Blanco the week before and dropped him the next week for Wesneski. So sure. Wes is the guy I want for sure. And just for Wesneski's got at the Giants versus Seattle next week. Yeah, sign me up for that one, please. Yep.
And then versus the A's not in Sacramento.
No, Wesneski. So. I got at San Francisco versus Seattle next week.
Yeah, and then after that is.
Sorry, missed you. Yeah, no, that's a phenomenal. And then you want to go farther, the Mets, who are a joke as well. So yeah,
damn.
And then
even that's nice.
Christian Javier gets Seattle, A's at home, Yankees, which is not great right now. So yeah, both of them pretty good matchups. But I prefer Wesneski to your point, 100%. Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim have 7 games this week, all at home. 4 versus Texas, 3 versus the Royals, 3 lefties and 4 righties for the Halos, who traded Adele, cut Soler. But the big boy's in town, and he's one catching appearance away, from getting catcher eligibility, folks. And that might happen this weekend. So buckle up is all I'm
buckle up. That's right. Mobala, as our buddy Brendan calls him in the Discord. Moises Ballesteros. We hinted at on the trade deadline episode that we wanted Moises Ballesteros not only up with the Angels, but playing catcher. And it looks like we may be getting both. So this is a priority ad if you need a catcher. Like I was going through my cuts in my teams. I've got like JTR and 12 teamers. What would you do there?
That's tempting. If like you're cool with volatility, I guess, which you should be in 12s. I think the ceiling is biased arrows for sure. Because what's really good is the love or hate the GM in Anaheim. When they traded Ballesteros, they called him up that next day and the GM said he's going to play 2 games at DH, 1 game at catcher this week and plan on that being kind of similar for every series.
Yep.
That's
awesome. That's more playing time than most catchers out there.
Yes. And so that's beautiful. Plus he's going to get you to 20 catching games for next year. And I mentioned it in the PT tomorrow when he got sent down from the Cubs, because he only played like 8 games at catcher with the Cubs. Out of, I think he played 35 games at AAA, and at least half of them are at catcher. So they were working behind the plate a lot more at AAA before the trade happened. So I'm liking it.
I should have made the big man the cover boy.
Cover boy.
Apologies.
It's all good. It's all good. You can't give me everything. It's understandable. But
no, that's a primo ad. I don't have anything else on the bats, though.
The rest of the team is
it's stream against not territory.
Good. Not
it's
good.
Total stream against.
Pitching side, you got Detmers, Ryan Johnson's backup, Urania's goated. Grace Rodriguez has actually been kind of good lately. I'm still not trusting a dang thing about it. You say Kikuchi might be back next week. That's the one I was going to highlight. But you got anything on the pitching side?
No, I just brought some bad memories there. I need to see how Kikuchi looks coming back before I'm willing to go there. Ben Joyce is the name on on the bullpen side, activated from the IL this past week, pitched on Wednesday with Sam Bachman now on the IL. There is literally no other body that I could see the Angels going to in the ninth. Granted, they won't have any save. They likely won't generate many save opportunities except for nights when Walbert, the goat, Urania is on the mound. But I would think Ben Joyce is if you're looking for saves, someone you want to add.
And one thing I'll mention, fully agree on that. I think because they flat out said they want him to get save chances as much as possible. They just got to ease him. And like he mentioned it post game. That was his first MLB action, I think, in almost 300 games or something, like some crazy number. He's been out for a long time. Maybe it's 300 days. I don't know. A couple years. But I will mention, if he should be available because he's pitched this year, there is zero reason that George Klaassen should not be making a spot in this rotation soon enough. So if you can speculate on a guy, Klaassen's been outstanding at AAA, like really, really good at AAA. So if you want to stash a guy, I know the wins might not be there, but Klaassen's been very, very good.
Yep.
All right, Seattle Mariners. They have 6 games this week, all on the road, 3 in the Bronx, 3 at Houston. Tough road trip. two lefties and four righties for the Houston or the Seattle Mariners. Sorry.
Yeah. So you've got Brendan Donovan back from the IL, played third base the first two games back. Conveniently, J.P. Crawford J.P. Crawford is on the IL. So Colt Emerson is shortstop for now. Brendan Donovan at third base, and Cole Young locked in pretty much leadoff against righties second base. So I mean, if you're looking for batting average, Donovan is an option for you. He's been out so long. I've barely even seen him play this year. Don't know what you'll get there.
Yeah, I'm not worried about anything in that line of work. Pitching, you got Wu, Miller, Gilbert, Kirby, Hancock, and then Munoz closing. I got nothing unless you're excited about speculating on Cade.
Nothing. And if you're in leagues where you can speculate on Cade, you should have already done so. Cade Anderson. It did come out this week that Cade Anderson, when he gets called up, and when is the word, he will start. So that just kind of, you know, we don't know when it's going to happen. My guess is sometime that makes him rookie eligible for 2027. But I think that's when we'll see the call up. So it's going to happen at some point, and Cade Anderson will start. So that's good. Can't wait.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome. Texas Rangers, 7 games on the road, 4 in Anaheim, 3 at the Sacramento A's. So a really nice schedule if you like Texas bats, but it's 3 lefties and 4 righties. That still puts Jock in play for me.
Yeah, especially the first half of the week. It's the 4 games, 3 of them are against righties and pretty bad righties. 13% strikeout minus walk for the pitchers facing the Rangers in the first half of the week. So Jock, jam it up for the first half. I don't have anything else on the bats, though.
Yeah, nothing else really here. Anything on the pitching side for you? Cody Bradford return.
Yeah.
He is almost 700 days away from pitching. I saw that one as well. And then we should get the Jomo back next week.
Great. Really hope we see more of Cody Bradford than Jomo. Bradford, I think, went 4 innings in his first game back. Yeah, 4 and a third. 2 walks, 5 Ks, no runs. You like that? It was against your Giants, but gets the Angels this coming week. So Cody Bradford, I always liked Cody Bradford pre-injury. Let's see what the post-injury version looks like. Probably not a priority add, but given the matchup against the Angels, if he can go 5, I kind of like that, and then see where it takes you from there.
Yep, not opposed to a stream of Cody Bradford this week. Let's go to the National League, the Atlanta Braves. They have 6 games this week at home, 3 versus the Mets, 3 versus the D-backs, 3 lefties, and 3 righties, which makes platooning complicated.
And I don't know. Like, they got a couple guys back from the IL this past week. The Braves did, Sean Murphy, Ha-Seong Kim, but nothing moving the needle for me. And you can't really use Yastrzemski in a 3-3 lefty-righty week.
Yeah, just a heads up, Lane Thomas does look like he's in a platoon, so you can feel free to drop that if you like.
Yep.
Tyler Molly has joined the rotation. Anything of interest there?
No.
He's been serviceable in 15s, I'll admit.
Yeah, I don't want to.
As much as I've hated on him, but yeah, it's not like a ceiling play at all, but there's a floor there. It's just a matter, like, right now they have Ronaldo Lopez coming back next week, and potentially I don't think he's booting Molly from the rotation, but guess we'll wait and see on that one. Miami Marlins, they have 6 games this week, 3 against Pittsburgh, 3 at Great American Small Park, 1 lefty and 5 righties for the potent but crowded goose-loving Miami Marlins.
that's the question, man. The goose is back in our lives.
On the bench.
Didn't start Tuesday or Wednesday, so
he's not going to.
So that's going to be tough. Esteri Ruiz did his normal, you know, I'm going to start both days of the weekend again, and then it's not him making these calls, but that's not starting again ever. So that's really cool. That really sucks. I don't like the Marlins. At least they're playing Adalberto Hernandez. Yes. You got Griffin Conine with a 5 righty week, kind of cooled off lately, but I like that as well.
52% roster Griffin Conine. I'd be looking to add him to if minimum stream. I've been using him off and on the bench with the righty setups. He's been very, very good. He's kind of their, I know it sounds cliche, he's their lefty version of Heriberto. Like, they might struggle, but they're going to hit play a couple bombs a week, and
yep,
you're going to enjoy it. And the Goose, love him, but I said it in the Discord immediately. Like, they came out and said it. He's the backup catcher to Joe Mack, which makes sense, and they're going to try to get him some time at first base. They said, like the Liam Hicks role, but Kyle Stowers is playing first base, folks, and he's pretty good. So I don't know when Goose is going to play.
Needs an injury. Yeah.
So don't get too – I'm excited, but don't get excited on those. Since pitching side, are we ready to give Tyler Phillips some more love, or are we just – he's basically a Randy Dobnak plus.
I can't do this. Yeah,
I wouldn't put him up against Pittsburgh. Like, I just had to throw it out there.
You've left me speechless. Not only with Tyler Phillips, but with the Dobnak comp. I can't go on, man.
All right. The New York Mets, they have six games this week, three at the Braves, three at home versus the Nationals, three lefties and three righties for a Mets team that has seen Luis Torrens and Marcus Semien go on a power barrage the last 2 days.
Yeah, Semien homered. Yeah, again on Thursday. I mean, it's Marcus Semien at the end of the day. It's a bad lineup without Soto. It's nothing that I see for ads on the hit on the bats.
Yeah, so it's still no Semien though. Just I want to clarify.
I mean,
23%. So
sure, if you need the playing time, but it's Marcus Semien. I think we all know what that is.
Yep, for sure. Anybody else? Before we move on to the pitching side of things, which Robert Stock is in the rotation for now, which I can't believe.
Right. I'm not buying stock in that one.
36-year-old
journeyman, not doing it. Numbers have been serviceable in the minors, but no, I'm not.
Any concern about Devin Williams' kind of dead arm thing?
But until he's out or whatever, if you know, he's the guy, he's the closer. I think the Mets will still generate enough save ops. So just keep rolling with him. But yeah, perhaps grab that third closer in Fab this week as a backup plan. We've already mentioned a couple options already in the show.
Phillies, six games on the road, three at St. Louis, three at Minnesota, six righties for the Phillies. If that, you know, doesn't really matter, but yes.
Yeah, it doesn't really matter. You're still throwing Brandon Marsh out there, who made our Gene Segura list surprisingly a couple weeks ago, but you're still doing that in an all-righty week. Same with Bryson Stott. And if you need steals, Justin Crawford.
All right. Pitching, Andrew Painter left with a kind of hamstring issue, so waiting on that news. Otherwise, I got nothing with the Phils.
Same.
Nationals, six games this week, three at home versus the Cubs, three at the Mets, three lefties and three righties. For the Nats, which the three lefties, three righties is a bummer because they've turned into a massive platoon team, especially with Abimelech Ortiz.
We'll just go with Abby. I think that'll be easier.
Big fan.
For all involved. Abby Ortiz is the new first baseman against right-handed pitching, right, in the wake of Luis Garcia heading to the Yankees. Problem is... yeah, probably not going to play against lefties, hasn't against two lefties this current week. And like you said, Washington is split currently next week with three lefties, three righties. So I like the skill set with Abby Ortiz, but it is a pure streamer. So just be aware of that. I will also just add, outside of C.J. Abrams, like this lineup has lost James Wood. This lineup has lost Luis Garcia. This lineup has lost Curtis Meade. I don't want to say the Nationals are stream against because they still have some talent in the lineup, but this is not the same. If you're looking up like matchups and full season WRC plus, you know, whatever you want to use, full season data to kind of look at matchups, the Nationals are not the Nationals of what they've been in mostly in 2026, the current version.
Yep, you shouldn't be doing that at this point in time, that's for sure. And Jacob Young, you shouted him last week. We'll keep shouting him out. He's been producing in your deeper formats.
Yep.
Anything on the pitching side with the Nats? I made you go speechless with, you know, talking about Trevor Williams last week. I don't have anything to really get excited about here.
No. The good Lord has risen. Brad Lord is back from the IL. So
took him more than 3 days, but he's back. Chicago Cubs, they have six games this week, three at the Nationals, three at home versus the Cardinals, one lefty and five righties versus the Cubs. Cubs team, these bats have woken up in a big way of late, as you kind of mentioned earlier. What do you got for the Cubbies?
I don't think I have anything. Pedro Ramirez playing time still continues to annoy everybody. Tyrone Taylor is who we thought he was, sat against a righty on Thursday. So that's a soft side platoon. No, I don't have any ads for the Cubs.
That leads us to the rotation. Gossman's in the rotation now. They just called up Braxton Garrett,
who
apparently is going to be a long man with Colin Ray in the back end. That was interesting to see take place, but he's up with the big club. Edward Cabrera has one more rehab start before he's back. Anything of interest in the Cubs rotation for you?
I mean, they could go 8-man rotation. They have
options. They have options.
But no, I mean, we all wanted to see Braxton Garrett up, but you know, as the meme goes, not like this.
Yeah.
Can't add a bullpen Braxton Garrett, I don't think.
Well, it's like we talked about on the trade show, is going to Chicago kind of blocked him from like the Marlins had options or didn't have options to block him, but they found him. The Cubs actually have options. Cincinnati Reds, you got something else?
No, just bullpen.
Palencia, yes.
Yeah, Jacob Webb has been the guy. Zephyr John's over there, but pitched the 8th on Wednesday, and Palencia could be back pretty soon. So Palencia, I would first assume, just goes right back to the 9th.
Yeah, first rehab appearance on Wednesday. I think they're hoping for like end of next week for Palencia, if all works out. Cincinnati Reds, 3 at the White Sox, 3 at home versus the Marlins. 1 lefty and 5 righties for the Cincinnati Reds. They got Hector Rodriguez got called up, and he's played versus both righties so far.
That's the name I was going to call out. Do we like Hector Rodriguez, probably a strong side platooner? It's a 5 righty week, so this is where you want to see what you have, right?
Yep, and it's 3 righties at home. It's Sandy, Gusto, and Yuri, but it's still 3 righties at home. Like, those are what you're looking for. So, yeah, if you're going to roster Hector Rodriguez, this is the week to see what it's all about.
Pretty good power numbers in AAA for Hector Rodriguez, 11% barrel, 89 miles an hour. I've almost said 89% exit velocity, but 27 homers at .274 in 455 plate appearances. So pretty good power, pretty decent plate skills in AAA for Hector Rodriguez. I'm interested, especially with the righty heavy week.
I want to shout Dane Myers again in deeper formats. Like, he's in that kind of Rave Collins category. If you need a fifth outfielder stream, especially with the 3 home games coming up, he's playing pretty much every day in center field. So power's not really there, but he is hitting for average and can run. So a little better than whoever it was you shot down, or Nick Sogard. Like, he does a little bit. So we got that going. Pitching side, Hunter Green. You can cut him. He's seen Dr. reattach. I don't even care if he's not having surgery. We're going to be lucky if he gets more. Let's over under 2.5 starts this season. I'll take the under on that one.
Oh, and good for reattach, getting another kind of pretty high profile client. He's back in the game. I like that.
So, yeah, it's a shame, but Hunter Green, like, to me, like, if you want to wait 1 week, knock your stuff, but I'd cut him immediately if you can. I don't think he's going to be much of anything, which leads us to ask, who's next? Lodolo should be back maybe next week, Ryan.
Yeah, that's the word on the street, is Nick Lodolo with his new pitching grip is back. Currently scheduled to pitch on Tuesday against the White Sox, and that would line up for a two-step. Just to dangle the...
No.
Just to dangle it a little bit more.
I'd rather start Jacob Lopez in Sacramento.
I don't know if I'd go that far, but
you get my point.
I'd rather just not set my lineup.
Yeah.
In all seriousness, I can't trust Lodolo. Maybe this new pitch grip thing works, but I just feel like another blister's coming. And you know, I've kind of written off Lodolo all year. It's served me well, but I mean, I guess, I don't know. It hasn't served me poorly. I don't know, whatever the way to frame that is, but I don't know. You could throw Lodolo on a bid list in 15s, but it's kind of it for me.
Yeah, that's where I would stop the party there. Let's go to the Milwaukee Brewers. 7 games on the road, 3 at the Padres, 4 at the Dodgers. A little Southern California trip for the Brewers. There's going to be a bunch of teams down south next week. Brewers got 3 lefties and 4 righties. Anything of interest here for you? I'm going to tell you, kind of like I said about Vladito, maybe it's even worse. Christian Yelich in a 12 is probably a cut.
I don't have any Yelich, so it's just one of those, like, I've not even thought about him this year. But 7 homers hitting .234. Holy crap.
He's worse than Teoscar. Worse than Teoscar. And Teoscar I wanted to cut. So you can cut Christian Yelich in 12s. And in 15s, I probably wouldn't kill me either at this point in the season. Like, that's a dead roster spot.
It has been. It certainly has been. 15s, that's
and he's tough. Util only. That's the problem.
I know. He actually, I mean, the term clogging your utility spot actually does apply with Christian Yelich.
Yeah. So I wanted to mention that beforehand, but Jake Bowers is hurt, and I'm really not, like, you asked how I felt about J-Ram. This one doesn't feel good either, because you'd imagine they had imaging by now, and they haven't said anything. He's day-to-day with an abdominal injury. He's missed three straight games.
This is totally separate from what was his last – remember we thought he was out for a year
A fractured toe. Okay. Yeah, totally different, unless his toe connects to his groin, but or his glutes or whatever the heck he's got up there. Oblique.
Well, it's all one system, buddy, called the body. And
it's all connected to each other. It's as you get older, it feels like it's a million pieces. But yeah, keep an eye on the Jake Bowers thing too. That's a freaking another gut punch, literally, for me and him.
Yeah.
What else you got on Milwaukee though?
More just wanted to get your thoughts on the rotation, right? I think that's the I think that's the thing to look at, and because that actually has a ton of fantasy actionableness, that's a word. But you got Kyle Harrison back, but then what, had cramping in both of his calves, which sounds
And it got even better. I watched an interview of post game interview from him. They cramped up like in between, like after the fifth inning, he's in the dugout, calves are cramping up. He had 5 shutout innings with 10 Ks, by the way, looked great.
Yeah.
Goes in, he starts taking shots of pickle juice and some cinnamon thing that's supposed to help with cramping. Nothing went away. So they just called it a night.
That sounds disgusting.
Yeah. So like, I just called it a night before the pickle shots, but that's just me.
Yeah. There's times I wish I would have done that back in the day.
But, yeah, you know. Man. But those are pickled backs. It's a whole other story. you mentioned it. And this is it's weird because it's changed like 3 times since the trade acquisitions of Dustin May. But it looks like we have a 6-man rotation. At least that's what it is for now. It's like that's the projections as it's come out. That's where you're going with this. Because we're like, is it Drohan? Is it Gasser? Is it this? Is it that? At one point, they're both out. Looks like they're both in. And it looks like it's a 6-man, which I think is great because I'm a big Gasser fan as a streaming option. His matchups coming up don't look great, but I'm also ready for this rotation to continue to change. But, yeah, it looks like a 6-man's coming to Milwaukee.
And that, I think that's the right move. I think that's the right play. Right. I mean, we both kind of hinted at that in the past. Like, they just have to stretch out some of these guys just from a workload standpoint, make sure they can get to October ready to go. And just with so many workload injury issues throughout the rotation, right, with the Miz, with Henderson, with Harrison, like, you got to keep these guys somewhat spaced out. So from an inning standpoint, they're not just gassed by October. So your guy Gasser, you kept him around? Did you cut him?
Kept him around for another week, so we'll see. But it's like at the Dodgers versus Atlanta.
And no 2-steps, right, with a 6-man usually,
which I'm not worried about. In my 15s, I'm just playing best matchups, like 2-steps get an upper hand, but like then he gets Texas, which I kind of like, and it's at the cut. Like, we'll see how things keep switch. There could be an injury before that takes place, so we'll wait and see. Pittsburgh Pirates, they have 6 games, 3 at Miami, 3 at home versus Boston, 2 lefties and 4 righties for a Pirates team that, like you mentioned, the splits have become real when they get 4 righties this week.
Yeah, so it's, I don't know, just kind of marginal. The big new face, the big new name, whatever, is Ronnie Simon, who was called up. Probably in a strong side platoon, started on Thursday, stole. If you need steals, you're interested in Ronnie Simon. I think stole, 33 bases in AAA this year. He's 26, so a little advanced, experienced for the level. But to hit .330 with 33 steals in AAA, again, that's surface stats in AAA are always a little bit tricky, but puts bat on ball, can fly, a little bit of pop. I don't mind Ronnie Simon this week, especially, again, categories are everything right now. If you need bags, that's someone you can look at.
I'll shout Indy Rodriguez, 56% rostered in 12s. Hitting home runs, stealing some bags as a catcher. He even DH'd on Thursday, so he's played first base today. When he doesn't catch, he's playing elsewhere, which is beautiful. I'm talking about Ballesteros. I'd prefer Indy even over Ballesteros, to be totally honest. So,
oh, okay.
If Indy's available, I'd be rolling him as a catcher too. 15s, he's gone, but there is flexibility in 12s right now.
Okay.
Pitching side of things, Mr. Ben Titt opened my eyes to this, and I should have known with Mitch Keller going from healthy to the 60-day IL without even really a hint of notice. Carmen Majinski might be back in our lives, and he was very interesting to start the season. Got pissed off and went to the bullpen.
Some
thought he should have been cut, and he wasn't. But he's been really good out of the pen in multiple inning roles. He should be back in the rotation, and this should be – there's about four or five starting pitchers that have opened up some playing time this week that are quite intriguing.
Okay. Yeah, hey, if Ben's interested, if you're interested, then we all should be. You wonder how stretched out we'll get, how long it'll take to get at least a five and dive for Majinski, but
if you want to go deeper, he's gone 47 with 30 30 51 57, so he's a bit, pretty much been like 35 to 50 pitches every time.
Maybe like kind of one bridge start, and then you're getting to 80 pitches, 85, yeah, something like that.
Not so that far off. And that's how they're doing, like, Jones. Basically, think Jones's schedule. That's what you're getting.
Yeah. I mean, it's not ideal. Like, you've got to be efficient, and the pen's got to hold the lead and go five or six innings, but it's workable.
All right, let's talk about the bullpen. Gregory Soto, I think you can – I only got the save on Saturday, but he even came in at the seventh again on Thursday. I have the game on as we're recording. It seems like it's Mason Montgomery and Luke Weaver's world, primarily Luke Weaver's probably. There just hasn't been a save. Like, Montgomery got the save chance on Monday, but Weaver wasn't there yet. So I think – do you still give Montgomery a chance, is I guess what I'm trying to say.
I mean, you have to, just because he does have the most recent save, and similar to – it kind of goes back to what I said with the Minnesota bullpen, right? We don't know. Like, with Jeff Hoffman versus Gomez over there, we don't know what's going to happen here, at least until we get some tells in actual games. So I think similar to, like, Hoffman, Luke Weaver is certainly good enough that you need to add him if you're looking for saves. But same goes for Mason Montgomery. We can sit here and guess who's going to do it, but that's all it is. It's just a guess until the team does anything. People probably don't want to hear that, but I'm making it up if I'm trying to guess on who's going to be the closer.
And Weaver's only 49% in 12s right now, so go make that happen. St. Louis Cardinals, six games, three at home versus Philly, three at the Cubs, two lefties and four righties. For the Cardinals, who have made a couple minor moves as well.
I guess. I don't know. I don't have anything on the back.
They call them Cesar Prieto. I got nothing for the Cardinals. Okay.
Did I miss something?
The one I'm interested in is, like, I still like Kyle Leahy as a streaming option, but Hunter Dobbins is up, and they said they're going to give him run right now. Like, he should get starts the rest of the way, barring something crazy. And I've always liked Hunter Dobbins, so I think that's a dude you can. And he's got a two-step first Philly at Chicago, not great, but I think you can still look into a guy like Hunter Dobbins.
Yeah, and Philly hasn't been that great against righties this year. He would go at Philly again the following week. Dobbins would. So, Dobbins was the name I was going to call out. You know, I think just a streamer, but good enough in 15s. You can throw that.
Exactly. All righty, let's go to the Arizona Diamondbacks. Six games, three at home versus Colorado, three at the Braves, six righties for the D-backs.
I don't think I have much, right? Lars Nootbaar is over, hit leadoff on Wednesday, so that could be nice ahead of Corbin Carroll, but I don't know.
The tool man's had a couple home runs this week, if you're interested.
I mean, yeah, we're always interested in the tool man. It's probably one of our better nicknames we've come up with, but nice to see him hitting well. Nice to see him hitting well.
He's swinging it well. Pitching side, Bratt looked good on Wednesday. I don't know if you have any interest in the rotation. We'll get to the bullpen shortly.
Mitch Bratt would get a two-step against the Road Rockies and then at Atlanta next week. So skills haven't been great. Did look, like you said, look better his last time out. But in 15s, you that could be interesting. Anytime you have a road Rocky situation, especially against a lefty, the Rockies are just awful against
really
lefties.
Bad.
So
really bad.
Mitch Bratt is streamable this week, but I don't like the kind of long-term skills there yet.
Yeah, full send on that. And then you also got Cole Drake gets the Royal Rockies. Still not in love, but it's another lefty going up against the Royal Rockies. If you really just look for a one-start pump and dump type situation. Brandon Garcia, he's around 53% in 12s. He looks to be the dude, Ryan.
He does. I think did not get a save on Monday, but it was one of those, I think they were up by four and would have been a save op. So even though yep. Brandon Garcia, though I guess he's no longer the only lefty in that lineup. Philip Abner was called up from AAA as a lefty. So there is another lefty in the pen. Maybe that is the D-backs telling us that that's their situational guy. I have no idea if Philip Abner is good or not, but he's a body. He throws with his left arm, kind of like us.
Kind of like us.
But I mean, it could mean that they're going to save Garcia for the ninth. This is kind of the big what I'm getting at there.
Agreed. No, he's not the only lefty in town anymore. So, all right, Colorado Rockies. They have six games all on the road this week. Three at the D-backs, three at the Giants, which we love to see. Two lefties and four righties for the Rockies, which honestly, outside of like your Karroses and Castros of the world, I don't see a whole lot to get excited about.
No. Not, I mean, so I guess we'll call out that Jordan Beck was called up this past week. I don't know. You've been down that road before.
Yeah. Like, I want to say yes, like, but I got to see it to believe it. Like, there's other guys I can stream right now that I know actually are playing well.
Exactly. Like, I would have rather seen Charlie Condon, who's probably up sometime in September, or Zach Veen, but whatever. I don't know. I'm not itching at the seams. I don't even think that's a saying to pick up Jordan Beck. Bursting at the seams, itching at the seams. Wow.
Yeah. All right. It's upon us. Gabriel Hughes week is here at Arizona at the Giants. 1% rostered in 12s. Already picked them up pretty much everywhere I could last week, at least in 15s. Anything else of interest in the Rockies pitching side of things?
No, never.
And Jordan Romano, for those that could still add Jordan Romano, he's still the dude no matter what. And Ben assured me that it was an unlucky blown save. Let's start out.
Okay. Did not see it, but sure. We'll go with that.
He watched. He said it was pretty bad defense and some ground balls, but we'll see. Dodgers, seven games at home, three versus the Royals, four versus the Brewers, three lefties and four righties for a Dodgers team, which we kind of know what to expect when it comes to hitting.
Right. I mean, the new name is your boy, Hunter Fiducia, is now on the Dodgers. Imagine that.
For the Dodgers.
I mean, honestly, like,
actually has value now, folks.
In that lineup, sure. Anyone who's
well, he's going to start versus lefties. Wartford will start versus righties.
Oh, yeah, you're right. That is, I can see that. So, probably Ixnay hitting side, or sorry, pitching side. We got Blake Snell. He will be back. So,
he'll be back. See you, Eric Lauer. Peace, homie.
Yeah, Lauer did start this past week, but it did not go well. So goodbye.
Nope.
Thank you for your service if you're on Bubba's teams.
He was dropped last week, so thank you for your service, my friend. And then I'm watching Edwin Diaz. It might be scheduled outings, but that last outing where he came in was weird.
The whole Diaz thing is weird. He's pitched like once the last week. Pitched back-to-back the first 2 days he was eligible. I'm holding Tanner Scott as well. Yes. Just, you don't want to lose.
He pitched
that.
Like the eighth inning down four or five, and he struggled. He couldn't even finish the inning. I was like, what are we doing here?
Yeah, I mean, the Dodgers don't care about the regular season, so they have some type of plan in place for Edwin Diaz, but for fantasy, like, that plan might not include regular saves. I mean, who knows?
Exactly. So we'll have to kind of wait there. San Diego Padres, six games, three at home versus Milwaukee, three at the Guardians, two lefties and four righties for the Padres. And no, it is not a clean your sheet week, because it's the sheets are just permanently dirty at the moment.
Yeah, the sheets have been ravaged by bed bugs. It's been a really bad year for Gavin Sheets. So you're not doing that. I don't know. I got nothing for the lineup. It's the same.
I got nothing for the lineup or the pitching. I know Casey Mize is in town, but he's already widely rostered. So I got nothing.
Right. Same with Robbie Ray. Like, you're not, there's nothing actionable there. Same with the bullpen.
All right. Wrapping it up with the Giants at home for six, three versus the Astros, three versus the Rockies, one lefty and five righties. There's a whole lot of names that don't really mean a dang bit of thing right now. But, yeah, they called up, or the only one I'm kind of interested in is Levis Basabe, just because he's playing every day. But, like, be ready to drop at any moment's notice is what I would say. Grant McRae in super deep leagues, because he'll play a ton and he can run. But, again, not a must add by any means. It's a bad team. The one you should, if you want to pick him up now, because he'll get some run here very, very shortly. Victor Barakoto is rehabbing at AAA. I wouldn't be shocked if we see him maybe even this weekend, if not Monday. So if you want some thump, he was raking before he got hurt. He should be back, and he should be the everyday left fielder for the Giants.
Okay. Do you think the Giants are a stream against? Are we in that territory? Still got. I mean, they got popped the first half of the order.
Yeah, you could stream against the Giants. Yeah,
but it's bad.
It's bad. It's like bad. The top of the order's got a little bit to it, but as a, like right now, Daniel Susak's hitting fifth.
Yeah,
just let that sink in. Pitching side, they'll go pick up Blade Tidwell. I've been a big fan. I've said it enough. The first inning was, I think, nerves. He settled down, gave you five innings. Strikeouts were not completely there, but he looked very good. And Lovello had, or Just for Men, had some really good things to say about him after the game. So I think we see Tidwell the rest of the way, unless something crazy happens. He gets a two-step versus Houston and versus Colorado next week.
Yeah, prioritizing Tidwell. Glad you brought him up. Any is it still stay away from the Giants bullpen, I'm assuming?
Oh, yeah, with Eric Miller out of town, it is brutal. Like, it's setting it up for Dylan Smith to get the role, but then he blows a save his first time out there. Like, I want nothing to do with it. I don't care if some guy gets three saves next week. Because even Lovello, okay, so the Cliff Notes we were talking about earlier, Lovello said there's really no plan. It's fun. That's the Cliff Notes version of what he said to the media after the game on Wednesday.
Avoid.
Yeah, just stay away, like I've said all season long. All right, Ryan, you ready to two-step it?
Yeah, let's knock this out.
All right, again, subject to change, Mr. Jacob Lopez versus Tampa Bay versus Texas?
No, not at home.
Bryce Elder versus the Mets versus Arizona? I'm going yes, he's actually been serviceable.
You like the Mets matchup, and I still, Minnesota's been good against righties this year, but I just look down that lineup, especially Arizona. Without Buxton. Oh, sorry, Arizona. My bad. I would.
They're still not that good.
Same, right, same thing applies. Yeah. So, yeah, I'd throw Elder.
And Bryce Elder is only 58% rostered in 12s right now. So that is a viable stream, folks. Tanner Rogers at Minnesota at Tampa Bay. Giddy up.
Who? Taylor Rogers.
Taylor Rogers.
Trevor Rogers?
Trevor, God, I'm an idiot. It's Trevor Rogers at Minnesota at Tampa Bay. I'm starting him.
Of course. Yes. Yeah. Auto.
Sonny Gray and Ranger Suarez at Toronto at Pittsburgh.
Yep. Both.
And real quick Trevor Rogers is fully rostered. Okay. Yeah. Starting both Boston guys, agreed. Gray and Suarez. Moving down, Nick Lodolo at the White Sox versus Miami. I can't do it.
I cannot either. Good matchups, but I can't.
Tanner Bibee at Detroit versus San Diego. Yeah. Gabriel Hughes at Arizona at the Giants. Yep.
That's your guy.
Sunday's Hughes versus Bidwell. Let's go.
I guess.
It's a fantasy player's dream, right?
I mean, the matchups are awesome, both away from Coors at Giants. Like, I guess so, yeah.
Sean Burke versus Cincinnati at Detroit. Yep. Burke scuffled his last start, but you go.
No, he's been good.
Yeah. Drew Anderson for Detroit versus Cleveland versus the White Sox. I'm still I'm not buying in, but who knows?
I could do it in 15s. I could see that.
Yeah. Wesneski at the Giants versus Seattle. Heck yeah. For some good two-steps this week.
Yep. I like it.
Noah Cameron at the Dodgers at the Angels. I'm doing it. Cameron's been very good of late.
You don't like the Dodgers start, but also, I mean, to your point, like, this isn't vintage Dodgers and then at the Angels. Yeah, you're doing Noah Cameron the way he's pitched lately.
Reed Detmers versus Texas versus KC. Yes.
Yes.
But Ryan Johnson versus Texas versus KC, great matchups, but he has not looked real great.
Hasn't looked great, and just like low win potential. No, I don't think so.
I'm hoping next Wednesday is the Clausen start. That's what I'm hoping for. Tarek Skubal, yes. Yuri Perez, yes. Logan Henderson, yes. Dean Kramer versus Baltimore versus Philadelphia.
No, I need to see. Yep. I need to see something.
Christian Scott, yes. Ryan Weathers versus Seattle at Toronto is a yes for me.
Yep.
It's a great set of matchups. Painter, if he's playing at St. Louis at Minnesota.
If he's playing, maybe in 15s, but yeah, given the injury, given 15s. How Painter's looked, I'd lean no.
Yeah, it's maybe in 15s, but it's a very big maybe. Paul Skeens at Miami versus Boston.
Yeah.
It's not looked good, but yes, you're doing it. Casey Mize versus Milwaukee at Cleveland.
You still do it, right? I mean, bad first start with the Padres, but whatever.
Brian Wu, two road starts.
Oh!
At the Yankees, at Houston. Like, your noise is because it's actually something to think about.
No, it is. It literally is something to think about. And Yankees, especially Yankees in 12s.
Yeah.
Like, I could see benching start, Brian Wu in a 12-teamer this week. He's just so bad on the road. Maybe it's just coincidence. I don't know, but has not been the same pitcher on the road this year.
Yeah, he pitched great at home on Wednesday, but yeah, that road's gnarly. Tidwell versus Houston versus Colorado. Yes. Hunter Dobbins versus Philadelphia at Chicago Cubs.
Marginal in 15s, but yeah, that's one of your, you kind of stream it and hope.
Freddy Peralta at Sacramento versus Baltimore. No.
No, you're not. Nope.
Mackenzie Gore at the Angels, at the A's. So at the Angels, at Sacramento.
You like it, and just became a dad, or he's on paternity leave. I don't know if it's on paternity leave.
Yeah, he'll be back for the first game. Bradford at the Angels, at the Sacramento A's. I can't. He's coming back with a two-step, and he loved that first start. But man,
yeah, no, I'm looking to add Bradford this week, and if I thus add him, I am throwing that two-step. Yes.
All right, Jameson Taillon versus Boston versus the Yankees. No.
No.
Dylan Cease, yes. And then Jake Irvin versus the Cubs at the Mets.
No. Maybe 15s.
All righty. Well, that'll do it, Ryan. Any final thoughts on your week 21 fab? It is another loaded week of action.
It's a big one. It's going to be a lot of spend. Just with so much changing. We've identified probably 5 or 6 decent starting pitchers, 3, 4 relievers. New call-ups on the hitting side, streaming targets on the hitter side. There's a lot to do this weekend.
Fully agree, and hopefully you guys are, this will get you rocking and rolling on your fab. Again, if you have any questions, the Bubba and the Bloom Patreon, patreon.com/BubbaBloom. We'll have the article on probably Saturday evening, Sunday morning. We'll get your Discord questions for you and much, much more. Or hit us up on Twitter. Ryan's at RyanBHQ, the podcast at Bubba Bloom Pod. I am at BD Intric. This was Bubba and the Bloom, episode 371. Catch y'all next time.